And welcome to the program for Monday, November 21st. And today talking about, among other subjects, innovation in government with two people who are experts in that field. And I'll introduce you to them in just a moment. It's been about 3 weeks or so now since the Executive Leadership Conference in Williamsburg, Virginia wrapped up. And one of the main topics of conversation there was innovation in government and specifically connecting industry and agencies with innovation that will help them to succeed in a tight budget environment. Two of the folks who talked about innovation were Mary Davey of the General Services Administration and Jim Beaupre, a chairman for ACT IAC. And they talked about this at the Sunday evening opening dinner, and they are my guests now in studio to continue this conversation. Mary, Jim, it's great to see you again. Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Happy
to see
you. Good to see you. Start with where you were and what you were talking about at ELC about specifically how you want to connect industry and agencies. Mary, you can go first.
Sure.
Ladies
so,
first.
Thanks, Francis. That is truly the mission of ACT IAC. And I accepted the chairmanship of the American Council for Technology back in July. And having worked with Jim over a number of years, that really became our theme for this year, is that collaboration. And that's what ACT IAC was created to do, was to engage government and industry in improving the effectiveness and the use of IT in government. So ELC started back in 1990. The intent there is to get a dialogue going between government and industry, focused on how we improve the use of IT in government to mm-hmm. further missions and things like that.
Yeah. Jim, from the industry perspective, what kind of connection are you trying to draw the same way that Mary's talking about from the agency
the
perspective?
For industry, of course, is how to bring innovative technology, how to get agencies to accept them. And we look at ACT IAC as that foreground, that sandbox, if you will, that allows industry and government to come together and not promote any single company, but talk about collaborative efforts to come up with innovations and also to be able to have an opportunity to present innovations.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly ELC is one of those opportunities for industry and government to come together and talk about what are you doing and how are you helping.
Mm-hmm. Now, there was a lot of talk about innovation at ELC in the panel discussions. There's a lot of talk in the hallway about it. What did you come away with? I mean, as I mentioned, you were talking about this on Sunday when the thing opened up. What did you come away from Williamsburg with as far as ideas, as far as thoughts about the buzz that you heard, things that industry people might have talked to you about, Mary?
Yeah, so there was a lot of energy, I think, coming out of that conference, and specifically around some of the things we talked about in this, the theme, mobility, the innovation, the doing more with less or less with more, or less with less,
mm-hmm.
right? So we heard all of those things while we were there. And given the environment that we're in, people really are looking to connect and learn from each other. And there's a lot of ongoing initiatives right now in government that are supporting agencies to collaborate and to talk more about shared services, shared solutions, things like that. But we in ACT IAC also provide a lot of forums for that dialogue and have for years, like the shared interest groups, like mm-hmm. the other conferences that we have. So what we want to do is pick up on some of those themes and things that people really wanted to learn from and make sure that those discussions continue to happen through the shared interest groups and the training programs that we have and the other events that we're planning throughout this year. And that's what we'll be working toward.
What do you think the state of the art is in innovation communications, not in the actual innovation itself, but in the ability of industry to convey to the agencies effectively what they can do for them to improve operations and also to save them money, Jim?
I think it's a real challenge for companies now. I think there's a lot of innovations out there. I feel like the government has dragged, this is my opinion, has dragged back a little bit. We're catching up and now we've fallen back.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some real opportunities for ACT IAC to provide that, again, that forum so they can bring their ideas forward. And we're trying to do more and more in areas to let them bring it forward because they are frustrated. Industry is frustrated. We have innovations and we'd like to bring them to agencies and we bring them to government, but there is challenges, and some of it is the acquisition rules that prevent them to bring innovations forward.
Talk about how ACT-IAC does that in a way that is not prejudicial toward somebody who, maybe in one case, somebody's on the board and somebody in a very similar capacity isn't, and we don't want to look like somebody has an advantage.
Great example. OMB came forward to us and said, listen, we need to have ACT-IAC look at how do we move financial systems, legacy systems, to more current systems. And the challenge was that, without naming companies, but, you know, you go to some leading database companies, leading financial companies, you ask them, how do you transfer to new technology? We know what the answer would be.
Mm-hmm.
So instead, what we did is we brought 25 companies together with guidance from OMB as to particular questions. And the 25 companies came forward with an answer that was very nonpartisan and really was very well received by OMB.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of thing that we can do.
How do you develop that kind of, maybe not consensus, I don't know that that was necessarily unanimous, but when you have a group of people like that with disparate interests and different approaches to the solving similar problems, how do you develop some kind of an agreement or consensus among a big group like that?
Well, that's a great question, because what you have to do is right up front, when you put the companies who decide they want to help with the effort, you have to have them leave their corporate hat at the door,
mm-hmm.
and really work on the problem and work on the problem in toto. And they have shown, we've done a number of these different studies with Vista, we did transition study, and all these companies have shown the ability to leave their corporate hat at the door. And quite frankly, if they don't, we ask them not to participate.
Mm-hmm. Mary, step away from your ACT-IAC role for a minute. Think about what Jim's talking about just as a GSA honcho, and the willingness of companies to cooperate in a situation that might not necessarily be in their best interest. There are certainly environments I can think of where you go, I really am doing this for the good of the government. What does that say to you about the ability of industry to be able to help you find answers?
And so I've seen it personally, having worked on the Better Buy Project a couple years ago, where mm-hmm. we brought in a bunch of different people from, we didn't even think about it in terms of what company are you from. It's, do you have an interest in this? Do you have a passion for it? Do you know something about it? And what can we do to improve, you know, the government buying process, to improve requirements development, to reach a broader audience? So again, it was several folks that volunteered, great experience with it, and we were all pushing towards solving the problem. Same thing the future of the network services program. Before I took the ACT position,
mm-hmm.
I had asked the NNT, Networks and Telecommunications Shared Interest Group, to work on what does the future of telecom look like? Where's the market going? Just provide some data. It's not specifically how to solve, you know, a GSA contract or anything like that, but what should we be thinking of about this program and about the market? What do we need to understand? Got a lot of volunteers to work on that as well. So I have seen it and experienced it personally, and I would certainly encourage other agencies to raise their hand and ask for help. And we now have the Institute of Innovation at ACT-IAC, where we can put groups of people together to focus on some of these more strategic challenges facing government when they ask for help.
All right. I want to hear more about the Institute of Innovation, because that sounds like a cool name.
It is.
We'll talk about that when we come back on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Jim Beaupre and Mary Davey of ACT-IAC, my guests on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Your health and that of your family, you want security and peace of mind. That's why more federal employees have chosen the Blue Cross Blue Shield Federal Employee Program for over 50 years. And it has one of the largest networks of doctors and hospitals. Who knew? That's the security of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Federal Employee Program. To find out more, visit whonew.fepblue.org or call 1-800-411-BLUE.
This audio puzzle is brought to you by CenturyLink Government. Identify the federal agency problem.
Am I number E enough? All the other information is way prettier. I look fat in this network, don't I?
The answer? Insecure data. With CenturyLink's comprehensive suite of security solutions, even your most sensitive data stays protected. For a free risk assessment, visit CenturyLink.com/federal.
If you're a federal employee, it's time to choose your health insurance plan. So now's a good time to know about a different health plan that actually rewards you for living healthy. It's called Healthy Blue, and it's the next generation of health benefits from CareFirst Blue Choice. Healthy Blue rewards you with no-cost office visits, x-rays, lab tests, and preventative screenings, plus no referrals. And how's this for a reward? After switching to Healthy Blue, families can earn up to $700 towards their deductible and individuals $300. Healthy Blue is a new and positive approach to health care, and it's one more example of how committed CareFirst is to working with you and your doctor to help you on the road to good health. Visit HealthyBlueRewards.com to see how easy it is to earn up to $700 now and save even more through the years. Then take greater control of your costs and your health by choosing Healthy Blue from CareFirst. You, your doctor, and CareFirst. A healthy relationship.
From the CareFirst Blue Cross Blue Shield family of healthcare plans, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association, some no-cost benefits and rewards are only available through your Blue Choice PCP.
As the single largest generator of jobs for the Department of Defense, Lockheed Martin's F-35 represents more than just innovation and freedom. It's an advanced technology program that fuels our nation's economic engine. As a leading-edge fighter, the F-35 has unprecedented capabilities that will help America and its allies defend freedom. And it's creating direct and indirect jobs for over 120,000 Americans and impacting more than 1,300 suppliers in 47 states across the U.S. Software developers in California, steel workers in Pennsylvania, and engineers in Georgia are all working to secure our skies. The F-35 Lightning II program. Securing freedom, securing jobs, securing America's future. To learn more, visit F-35.com.
I'm Amy Morris. Here's a look at Tuesday's Federal Drive. The Super Committee has super failed. Reaction and analysis from Steve Bell of the Bipartisan Policy Center. And here's a hint, hold on to your wallet. And details on the Association of Government Accountants Improper Payments Report. All of that and much more Tuesday morning starting at 6 on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guests for the first hour of the program today, Mary Davey, the chair of ACT, and Jim Beaupre, the chair of IAC, both of them here talking about a number of issues that are ACT-IAC is involved in. And those issues, of course, are things that touch all aspects of the federal business world. Mary, before we went to break, you mentioned the Institute of Innovation.
Yeah.
That's a cool name. And so I imagine there's something, a cool mission behind that name.
There is. The name really came up in the formality, I guess it was last year at the end of, I was on the executive committee for ACT last year, and we started talking about all of the requests that we get from government, like the Federal Financial Management Study that Jim just mentioned, the VISTA project. We participated in Mythbusters. So there's no shortage of requests from government to help in terms of what ACT-IAC can provide. And we decided, let's really kind of formalize this program, because before it may come into, the request may come into a shared interest group. It may come in from, you know, a single government agency. And we wanted to make sure that the resources that we were putting on these strategic programs really were the right ones. You know, the VISTA project was enormous and took a lot of effort, a lot of good brains, very well received by the VA. So we wanted to have a way in which we vetted those projects and made sure that we're putting the right folks on it and really getting the biggest bang for the buck in government. So we decided to formalize it and create the Institute for Innovation.
What's the structure of that look like,
so,
Jim?
It's really important. So anticipating there will be a lot of future opportunities, and they are turning up to be. So we decided to formalize the structure rather than take them off as one-off, because they're multiple. And it was the executive committee deciding on which ones we would do. So now we're forming a committee of industry executives to review these and then present them to the executive committee in a more formal manner. So that That Institute for Innovation Committee will be about 10 people and will vet all the different government ones coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Among the first projects will be the quadrennial government technology review, something we just named.
And it's catchy.
Right. It's a report of a set of advisories to go between each election. We did it last time. We called it transition study group. We didn't want to call it that time because we don't know.
Right.
So we decided to call it quadrennial review.
Mm-hmm.
And so that committee is being formed right now. In fact, I just saw the committee members, and they will review what's going on the issues inside the government. And we can almost anticipate them, budget, mobility, all those kind of issues, cybersecurity,
mm-hmm.
and what's going on in government and what are the issues that the government has to deal with,
mm-hmm.
and present that back to whatever the incoming administration is.
Now, I mentioned your Sunday night presentation at ELC, and you talked about a desire for input from industry on these issues of innovation. Is that going to be the conduit of where that information goes? Are you already getting feedback there? What's happening with that? What kind of response are you getting?
But that's one of the conduits, certainly. Mm-hmm. And again, we tried to provide multiple avenues for both government and industry to solicit ideas, or to, I should say, provide ideas to us. So we're going to continue through the shared interest groups where there are both industry and government that are focused on things like acquisition management. I mentioned the networks and telecommunications shared interest group. We've got mm-hmm. one on small business. We're looking at human capital. So lots of resources and support to work on these common challenges in government. And all of these folks really talk about, they do everything from produce white papers to support panel discussions to doing half-day sessions on topics, you know, that they're focused on, to make sure that we're sharing that information across mm-hmm. government.
Now, you hung it out there. You said, hey, help us out. Are you starting to get input? Are you starting to get feedback already?
Yes. We actually, right after the conference, we received several emails that we've parceled together, put together, compared them, and in other forms. Someone actually emailed and said, we have an idea, but we don't want it out in the public, and we put it right to Steve. We said, mm-hmm. sure, you know. So I'd say we just emails alone that I have seen about 15 different ideas. And again, the challenge was how to use technology to save budget dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been quite a number of them ideas and been vetted different ways. That's the nice thing about ACT IAC. We're there to receive any way you want to mm-hmm. deliver it to us.
Let's talk about innovation from a more, I guess, philosophical or a more existential type approach. Are we finally away from the idea that innovation has to cost more money? Because it seems for a long time, industry people were telling me, when I try to broach the idea of innovation with the agencies, some of them want to hear about it, some of them don't, because they assume it's going to be more expensive.
I hope we're past the idea that innovation costs more money. You know, I think if you think about things traditionally, you might say, okay, well, in order to be innovative, we've got to make an upfront investment. Maybe we need to, you know, look at how we're going to do things differently over the long term. Maybe we'll, you know, hopefully we'll get some cost savings. But given just the fact where technology is, and I think things are moving faster, both from a technologies being introduced more quickly, people are adopting it more quickly. We're seeing it, you know, in our own personal lives. So we've got these expectations now in our business world, mm-hmm. in our mission delivery world. But I'm also seeing in government, agencies are really out there talking more. We're sharing things like strategic sourcing. I will talk about, you know, a little bit what GSA did with the Google Mail implementation. We are talking to lots of agencies about how we did it. We're mm-hmm. sharing our statement of work. We're giving them all of the what went right, as well as what we could have done differently. Casey and Sonny are talking about the culture change, the communication aspects, the technology piece of it, the technical, the security. So there's a lot of interest, and I'm just seeing in general more and more agencies coming together to talk and also develop shared solutions around things like cloud and data center and things like that.
Now, Jim, the unfortunate part of what Mary's talking about is those are success stories, but those are still kind of the exception rather than the rule. Is that fair to say?
That's very fair to say. One thing that Mary said that always bothers me, that, you know, we're talking about saving money on IT by Google email, which is terrific, and whatever GSA has done. But the real savings is using IT and applications that aren't being automated today. farmers out in the field using mobility. You know, we've got to move IT from just talking about, oh, how we can save money in IT and using IT to save money. It's a different issue altogether.
Yeah. And that kind of goes with what I've been seeing. I mentioned during the break that in the last 2 weeks or 3 weeks, I've moderated two different panels on the emerging role of the chief information officer. And the theme going through all of those has been that the CIO is more integrated than ever into the mission of the agency. And it sounds like that's what you're talking about, Jim, is figuring out ways to incorporate IT into the ultimate mission, whatever that is, rather than just being the IT shop and we're just going to manage the IT over here in the corner.
Right. It's not about managing the IT budget. It's using that budget to save money across the agencies. And we've had a couple of meetings with Steve, Mary, and I, and he seems to be more integrated than either of his predecessors with regard to the administration, or that's what he's telling us.
Mm-hmm.
And he's focused on that part of the problem. How do we use those IT dollars to save budget dollars across all agencies? Different problem altogether.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you something, Francis, that Mary's not aware because I haven't a chance to. But last week we met with Congress for the first time. We've met with Congress a couple of times, but we actually met with 30 staffers in the Dirksen Building with about 80 industry people and 30 staffers. I sat at a table with Lieberman's counsel, and we talked about innovation, and each of the tables worked on what are the issues, how does Congress view those issues? And their challenge is, hey, all we hear about these projects that spend a lot of money, we need to see a return on investment before we go allocate dollars to these large IT projects.
Mm-hmm.
And that is part of the challenge. We need to educate them what really goes on.
I have said for a long time, and the people in my industry don't help matters, but I've said for a long time that's one of the biggest problems that agencies have is telling their success stories. Some of it's the agency's problems, because I can't tell you how many times I've contacted an agency and said, hey, I understand this project finished on time and or under budget. Let's get somebody to talk about it on the radio, how you did it. Well, we're not really talking about that. Well, why aren't you? Because I'm certainly going to do the news story when your project goes way over budget or goes way over a deadline. Those stories are going to get done. So why not tell your stories? But Congress too doesn't hear those either. So
they sure don't. And all they hear are negative. I think Roger Baker, going back to him again, has done an excellent job. He stood up recently and said, you know, 86% of his projects met their goals.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think in the past, most agencies would be afraid to say 86. Well, what about the other 14%? But he's showing that almost all his projects are on time and on budget, and that's really significant.
Well, and it strikes me, too, that he has a structure in place for those 14% that when somebody does say, what about those, he can say, yes, here's exactly how we're going to work on those to either bring them around or get rid of them. Right. And he's got a track record, too, of getting rid of stuff that doesn't work. So I guess what's the holdup for the other agencies? He's setting a bar that I guess is a little bit high for people
and
to
I think that's good.
Try to follow.
That's
good. Yeah, well, nothing wrong with that.
Right.
That's right.
And that just we haven't done that in the past in government so much. So I think things like the dashboard and the real focus on the return and understanding what some of the challenges are and either cut it off or change it, you know, and move on, that's just been a great success story and a model for many of us.
Well, let's keep talking when we come back from the break. Jim Beaupre and Mary Davy.
Jim Davy's my ex-husband, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, now I'm really embarrassed. And on that note, we'll take a break and continue our conversation in a moment, maybe with a new host on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
Defense Department and NATO officials say the creation of an interoperable multinational network for operations in Afghanistan has turned out to be a success story and changed the way the fight is conducted. The Afghan Mission Network was designed to let members of the International Security and Assistance Force collaborate and exchange information without major reconfigurations to their own national networks. DOD and NATO say that network is now being used as a testbed for future contingency operations.
General Dynamics
Dynamics Information Technology is dedicated to providing the latest, highest quality information technology services and resources to help organizations meet their mission objectives. Large-scale IT systems and communications networks are the strategic and operational heart of defense, intelligence, civilian government, and private business. They require the expertise of a company that delivers results. General Dynamics Information Technology, Information Technology and Professional Services. Go to GDIT.com to learn more. That's GDIT.com.
To win and deliver government contracts successfully, you need to align with the right teaming partners. Meet Tech Systems. While often behind the scenes, Tech Systems has worked with government agencies and systems integrators for over 25 years. In fact, every year, they deploy over 70,000 IT professionals at over 5,500 client sites nationwide, including more than 65 government agencies. Tech Systems is active across a broad spectrum of government programs and has developed deep relationships to understand what works well and who does it best. Thinking about cybersecurity? Working on a cloud computing initiative? Tech Systems addresses critical program gaps related to people, projects, and work functions. Their delivery models scale from staff augmentation to IT project and outsourcing services to support transition, ramp-up, surge, and ongoing program support needs. Learn more at TechSystems.com, TEKSystems.com.
Things just don't happen. You need a plan. A federal career can last 30 years or more, and so can federal retirement. Tune in each Monday at 10 a.m. to get the information you need to plan your course for financial security, solid benefits, and optimum health care. 100% focused on the federal employee for your benefit, presented by NITP, has the answers to your mid-career and retirement planning questions. Listen to For Your Benefit, Mondays at 10 a.m. on 1500 a.m. Federal News Radio for an hour that can change your future.
Force 3 presents great moments in military sports history, celebrating 20 years of serving this nation's great military and government. Force 3, let's do something great. Scoring a single touchdown in the Army-Navy series can make one a hero. Generating 7 touchdowns in a single game is the stuff of legends. In 2002, the 103rd meeting between the service academies, midshipman quarterback Craig Candetto rushed for 6 touchdowns and threw for another as Navy scored the most points in series history, crushing Army 58-12.
This is Rocky Cintron, founder and CEO of Force 3. This year, Force 3 is celebrating 20 years of designing innovative technology solutions. But we're not throwing a party or designing a commemorative logo. Instead of congratulating ourselves, we're congratulating the men and women whose bravery and sacrifice has allowed us to pursue our dreams. For 20 years, Force 3 has proudly served the technology needs of the armed services, and we will never take for granted their remarkable service to us. So remember, the next time you see a soldier, say thanks.
With more than 550,000 federal government workers eligible for retirement in the next few years, it's imperative industries build cooperation with the next generation of leaders in government. Join AFSCEA Bethesda on December 8th for a panel of rising stars from USDA, NASA, DHS, GSA, and the RAT Board to hear their perspective on cloud computing, mobile IT, data center consolidation, and strengthening program management at the Bethesda North Marriott. Register today at AFSCEABethesda.org/DEC Breakfast.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Jim Beaupre, the chair of IAC, and Mary Davey, the chair of ACT, in studio with me this afternoon. And we talked a little bit about ELC, the big ACT IAC event in Williamsburg a couple of weeks ago. But Mary, you mentioned during the break that there was a follow-on to that, a kind of a secret handshake club. After the event formally ended on Tuesday. Talk about that a little bit, because that's pretty fascinating.
The secret handshake club of government people, right.
No black helicopters there at all.
No. One of the things, and I've been involved with ACT IAC, I don't know, 10 years, mm-hmm. in a number of different...
Since you were like 16 years old?
Yes, exactly. Right, I started in government when I was 12.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, anyway. So we have got a robust database of names of people that have participated in one way or another. Maybe they went through the Partners Program, or they may have gone to an event. But what I really wanted to do was make sure that government knows, number one, that we exist, mm-hmm. and what we do, and really how to get involved. So one way is they can certainly check the website, actgov.org.
Mm-hmm. It's linked up on federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.
But and understand all of the different avenues they have and then the things that we've got going on. But I really also wanted to make sure that we are getting the word out about what we do and getting, expanding our base of brain power, if you will, mm-hmm. across government. So what I did was I asked the government folks to join me for a luncheon discussion Tuesday after we ended ELC. And we were lucky to have Lisa Schlosser, the deputy CIO, stay with us. Richard Spires helped kick us off. Chris Smith, the ELC government chair, was there talking about, you know, his thoughts on the conference. And really, how do we get the government folks talking mm-hmm. on a regular basis? How do we continue the dialogue? How do we share across agencies? And we kind of broke it down into several categories. We looked at, you know, human capital challenges. We looked at acquisition. We looked at mobility, again, sort of the hot topics and the theme that we had talked about at ELC. And then really my question was, how do we, ACT IAC, increase the value of what we do for government? What is it that government really needs from us, and how can we really continue to help? So mm-hmm. We had a great discussion, and again, a lot of interest and people raising their hands saying, I want to help. I want to continue this discussion. I will lead mm-hmm. Different initiatives. So I was really thrilled. We had about 55 people actually.
And that was government behind. Only.
Government only. Yeah.
Now, what's the difference between that kind of a conversation, or what can happen in that environment that can't happen in, say, a CIO council setting or environment?
It was lots of different levels of people. Mm. So we had the CIOs there, mm-hmm. and we had people that were the buyers of mm-hmm. agencies. We had people representing acquisition. We had folks representing, you know, IT. So it was just a variety of people that attended to give us, you know, a different kind of discussion.
A more holistic cohort of people, it sounds like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And just thrilled to be there and talking to each other.
And they wouldn't let you and your colleagues in, would they, Jim?
Well, no, it was something that Mary decided to do, and everybody is very acceptance of it. I've received a lot of feedback from government associates that were there, and they really enjoyed it. It kept people at the conference. Mm-hmm. At the end of the conference, you know, Mary and I closed out the conference. We looked in the audience. It was the largest audience at that hour ever mm-hmm. in the conference history.
Just because people anticipated another opportunity to participate in expanding this dialogue.
Yes.
What are you looking for? You mentioned people that don't know that you're out, that ACT IAC is out there, and I can't imagine there are that many people, but maybe there's somebody. What are you looking for when somebody says, I'd like to participate in this process. I don't know how to do it, or I'm not sure whether what I have to offer is a fit. Jim, what's
you know,
that how's that
happens
look?
All the time, and I'm always amazed that there are a number of people who don't know about ACT IAC, especially in the government, especially in industry. But there's lots of areas to join and so and get involved. As Mary said, people are willing to volunteer. You just have to tell them what they're willing to volunteer for. So our shared interest group is, I always say, is the heart of our organization because it's eight very distinct areas of a company to look at and said, that's what I'm interested in telecom. That's what I'm interested in cybersecurity. They can get involved with government counterparts mm-hmm. on that level. Our conferences have themes that allow people to come in and help on the planning committees and shape how the dialogue is going to take place. We talked about the Institute for Innovation. There's lots of entry points into the organization. People need to just step up and say, I'd like to be involved.
I wonder if there's maybe a perception, and it's a misperception, but it might be out there that ELC is your thing, and that's the only place that people can get involved. And, this seems like such a big thing, and I'm not ready to take that on.
I need to comment on that because I've been involved since the very beginning, since 89. And the real challenge has always been, anytime I'm talking to a government associate, I always bring up, gee, do you know what ACT IAC is?
Mm-hmm.
And they say, and I'll tell you, it's still today, 50, 60, 70% of the time, oh, yeah, that's ELC, isn't it?
Right.
It's very frustrating.
And getting around that perception.
Yeah. So much more.
Yeah. We have a link, as I mentioned, to actgov.org at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. And we'll continue our conversation with my guests from ACT IAC, Mary Davey, the chair of ACT, Jim Beaupre, the chair of IAC, in minutes from now on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
The Cloud Conundrum, Public, Private, or Both, a panel discussion with experts from government and industry sponsored by Brocade. Panelist Chris Smith, CIO of USDA.
Internally, we stood up our own private cloud offerings as we were doing data center consolidation. I started out by saying it was an evolution. 2 years ago, we knew the value that was in sharing compute, getting higher virtualization levels, getting a more secure platform. So we've been on that path. We've seen a 60% reduction in operating expenses. And that's huge. And we look at our rates every year to say, okay, are we competitive within the government space? We're cross-servicing other folks.
Cloud innovations are here. Is your network optimized? Accelerate to the cloud with Brocade's new technology and business models. Brocade's cloud-optimized solutions provide a foundation to help organizations migrate to private clouds. What does this mean to your agency? Increased utilization, simplified management, and an agile organization. That's why Brocade solutions are used in over 90% of global 1,000 data centers. Learn how Brocade will transition your organization to a virtualized world. Go to federalnewsradio.com, search cloud.
Quest Government Services is now CenturyLink Government. CenturyLink is positioned to support your mission objectives and provide you with an enhanced product and service portfolio. With our global reach, expanded nationwide network, and strong financial standing, we are the partner for IT leaders looking toward a stronger, more connected tomorrow. Your link to the future begins here. See the benefits of partnering with us at CenturyLink.com/federal.
Newsmakers on the Federal Drive with Tom Tamman and Amy Morris.
Jane Oates, the Assistant Secretary for the Employment and Training Administration at the Labor Department.
Veterans put in their military job code. You're in the Army and you're a 91B. Put that into My Next Move for Veterans, and you can get all the jobs that utilize those skills in the civilian workforce so that we can target your work search to those specific employers.
Hear the entire interview online. FederalNewsRadio.com/Federal. Drive.
This is In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Mary Davey and Jim Beaupre are my guests. We're talking about ACT-IAC, and I mentioned just before the break about the perception that's out there. And, Jim, I think you did an eloquent job of dispelling that myth that ACT-IAC is only about ELC, that there is a lot more going on. But what are – and, Mary, you've also done a terrific job of talking about some of the ongoing major things. But what are some of the timeline things that we can look at as far as what you're
doing?
I'm
so glad you asked.
you just happen to have your calendar in front of you.
I do, actually. So we have – Acquisition Excellence, which used to be the ERMCO conference.
Oh, yes.
ACT-IAC is working with GSA, which will be in D.C. March 29th, the Grand Hyatt. We have the small...
Oh, it's not out of town?
No, not anymore.
Okay.
So we're going to have that here. Small Business Conference will be April 19th, also at the Grand Hyatt in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the Management of Change Conference coming up at the Hyatt Regency in Cambridge, June 3rd to 5th, which actually, you know, the 4th is my birthday, so it's probably around... It's because it's my birthday.
It. Oh, yeah. I'm sure that's why
that's
it
exactly
is.
That's exactly why, right.
And I'm sure Jim is planning some terrific observance of your birthday.
We're planning a 50-mile bike ride.
Mary. Yes, we are.
Oh, I won't be on, I won't be on that.
And then, so, and like last year, we did a half-day acquisition forum, which, again, we brought together a bunch of folks from different agencies, and we talked about acquisition issues and challenges that
at
were
MLC?
Common. No, it was separate.
Oh, okay.
Just a half-day that the acquisition management shared interest group put on. So we're looking at other events like that that the shared interest groups can share what they've done and what they're hearing, and, again, another way to get input.
Mm-hmm. Now, there's a jillion events out there. What do you do to try to make sure that people understand how yours are kind of above the crowd?
Our events, our events, awful number of events are either government, where NASA has an IT day, Energy has an IT day, but they're put together, the formats are put together by the government.
Mm.
And then there's a lot of industry days where FCA puts something together, but FCA puts it together. We collaborate. That's what makes us different.
Mm-hmm.
Our planning committees are always half government volunteers and half industry volunteers. So the issues are both sides are talking about the issue. That's what makes our conferences different.
Mm.
Mary did leave one out that I need to promote. Is March 13th is our Excellence.gov Awards, and the nominations for those awards are due right now. Again, actgov.org is the website that people can put nominations in for a number of categories for awards on that day.
Okay, I've been living under a rock for the past quarter century or so. Tell me about the Excellence.gov Awards.
So what we're trying to do is recognize projects in both state and local government and federal that push the envelope. For instance, last year, the award for the best mobile app, as I put it on my phone immediately after it, was from Homeland Security. Yeah, that's it's a mobile app that allows you to find out what's going on at the airport.
So, oh, okay.
So if I brought my app now, it would figure out the closest airport is Reagan and would tell me what the delay is. So the app was by TSA.
Oh, TSA.
Wow.
And it would tell me what the delay is in the TSA lines.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So that received the best mobile app last year. And we have about a dozen categories. So mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of awards, but these are specifically on government applications and how they're helping government.
That is March 13th. You couldn't schedule that around Mary's birthday, too?
Honestly, Jim.
Now, and you said nominations close for that when?
Middle of December.
Middle of December.
15th, I believe.
Okay. We'll put some information about that up and link it up on federalnewsradio.com/in-depth also. All of this conversation that we've had about innovation, I think, is useful to the point that agencies actually act on it. One of the things that we talked about, and I think, Mary, it was you that mentioned it earlier, is that agencies have to consider the upfront investments that go into working on innovation. That's true because none of these programs are free. There's a cost to entry to all of these. Talk about the issue of demonstrating that return on investment so that you can go up the chain at your agency and then your secretary is willing to go to Congress and argue for that also when it's not necessarily something that is that everybody's used to doing or this isn't the way we've always done things.
Yeah, and we experienced a lot of that when the Federal Strategic Sourcing Initiative came out about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We looked at some things that we thought maybe were low-hanging fruit that would be easy for agencies to rally around that wasn't maybe a very scary initiative to change buying behaviors and business processes and things like that. What we found is we tackled some of the harder ones around office supplies. We're now looking, you know, at IT and things like that. We've got one that's coming out on the wireless. But really – It is behavior change. It's culture change. It's agencies need to be willing to sit down together to say, all right, I understand what I buy and how we buy it and how much we're spending on it and who we're buying it from. You have to have a base by mm-hmm. which you can start to then say, and here's how we're going to improve and make some changes, and here's what the goal is to get out of it, whether it may be lower prices, it may be increased efficiency in buying behavior, it may be we don't have to spend our own acquisition resources to do it, we'll rely on a government-wide initiative, and we can take it from there and mm-hmm. then redeploy our acquisition resources in another way that really focused on mission delivery. So you really have to start thinking, what is it you're trying to achieve, and how can you leverage maybe what somebody else has done, and then be able to demonstrate, here's what we have saved, or here's how we've improved, and get those successes. And I think they have to be somewhat small when you start off,
mm-hmm.
but you've got to have the goal, you've got to have the vision, and you have to be able to push it through the agency, continue to communicate about it, talk about it, and really position people to be able to take advantage of some of these things so you can demonstrate, we've done this.
Now, no disrespect intended, but it sounds like what she's talking about is innovative thinking already on the part of the agencies to be willing to consider innovation on the part of industry. And I guess if you don't have one, you probably don't have the other, do you, Jim?
I agree. And the whole concept of promoting this innovation and promoting goes back to my, I contend there'll be more budget dollars for IT. Instead of worrying about budget dollars, they should be worrying about how do we get those innovations into government that will allow more application and more successes, as Mary's talking about. And then the IT, the Congress will start seeing the benefit of IT in the government and against the budget. I mean, that's what we really need to see.
There's a guy that, a blogger, and he's like a personal development type guru, and he posted a quote by Steve Martin the other day, the comedian. And somebody asked Steve Martin about the whole idea that he plays the a banjo and so on. And then what's your secret to success? And Steve Martin said his secret to success is being unavoidably excellent. And that struck me when it comes to exactly what you're talking about, Jim. If these ideas are really unavoidably excellent, agencies won't be able to say no. They'll be so, the solution will be so convincing that they'll have to go in that direction or risk, if nothing else, risk looking bad by avoiding something that is unavoidably excellent. Does that make sense?
Yeah, as a government person, I would love to see unavoidably excellent solutions. Would love to. And I think we've seen some. And it's just, you know, looking from how do you move from where you are today to some of those excellent solutions. What does that look like? How do you prepare to do that? What do you need to be thinking about? But you're right. So we're all about the unavoidably excellent. We bring it on.
We're going to wrap up in just a minute here. We're almost out of time, and I got to do one more break. But we'll continue our conversation in a moment with Mary Davey and Jim Beaupre on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
To win and deliver government contracts successfully, you need to align with the right teaming partners. Meet Tech Systems. While often behind the scenes, Tech Systems has worked with government agencies and systems integrators for over 25 years. In fact, every year, they deploy over 70,000 IT professionals at over 5,500 client sites nationwide, including more than 65 government agencies. Tech Systems is active across a broad spectrum of government programs and has developed deep relationships who understand what works well and who does it best. Thinking about cybersecurity, working on a cloud computing initiative. Tech Systems addresses critical program gaps related to people, projects, and work functions. Their delivery models scale from staff augmentation to IT project and outsourcing services to support transition, ramp-up, surge, and ongoing program support needs. Learn more at TechSystems.com. TEKSystems.com.
Here are the ins and outs of Hyundai from the people who know it inside and out, the people who actually work here.
They allow you to grow with the company. That is Hyundai. That's the difference.
It's all about jobs. I love my job.
I am happy to be here, and I'm proud to be here.
We're all like one big family.
Pride of ownership and pride of craftsmanship.
I feel a sense of pride. I feel a sense of accomplishment. Something that we all can rejoice in because we've done this together.
Building cars that Americans want.
Teamwork, commitment, and pride.
I love working with my team. We're more of a family.
It's about building cars in America.
Yeah, it's a good feeling. It really is.
What they used to call the American way.
It still works here.
This is not just a job. This is a career. We have a career here.
Proud partner in the American dream. Dream with us at HyundaiAmerica.us.
I'm so proud that my kids are proud. They're proud of me. So we love Hyundai.
Hyundai. New thinking. New possibilities.
How would you like up to $50 out of the blue? That's the wellness incentive from the Blue Cross Blue Shield Federal Employee Program. Complete our Blue Health Assessment and get up to $50 for qualified medical expenses. $50 out of the blue. Who knew? To learn more about the Federal Employee Program, visit whonew.fbpblue.org or call 1-800-411-BLUE.
Want to win more government business? Need to gain a competitive edge? Visit govwin.com. Deltek has combined input and Fed sources to create thousands of contracting opportunities worth over $1 trillion at govwin.com. It's the market intelligence you need to jumpstart your sales efforts. Identify the right opportunities, assemble the right teams, capture the right contracts. Visit GovWin from Deltek to win more. Get started for free at govwin.com/WTOP.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. My guests for this hour, Jim Beaupre and Mary Davey, both leaders in ACT-IAC. Mary is the chair of ACT and Jim is the chair of IAC. And we're almost out of time, but I wanted to ask you about one more thing, and Mary, and that is the ACT-IAC Academy. We talked about that a little bit during the break, but to fill me in on the details.
Would love to, Francis.
Yeah.
Okay, so ACT IAC, one of the focuses that we've had for years is professional development, and we looked at the programs that we currently have, such as the Partners Program and the Voyagers Programs, which are, again, hooking up a government and industry person to go through a nine-month program of training, mentoring, learning from senior folks in government, and really, you know, career path development.
Mm-hmm.
We also have the Leadership at All Levels program, which is aimed at the younger workforce and learning from more senior folks and having fairly informal discussions with senior folks. So then we tried to figure out, you know, what's missing.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of what we heard from government was, how about some formal training programs around topics like best practices, program management, and leadership. They felt there was a hole or a gap. Not that there's not a whole bunch of organizations that do training, but specific to government. Best practices, real case studies, people that have worked and done these programs and these projects and come and share and talk about it and have a discussion about, again, how to improve, address real projects that are going on in government today and getting people talking and sharing information. So we launched that recently. And we're holding classes now that folks can sign up for by going to the website.
All right. We've got that information, as I mentioned, loaded up on federalnewsradio.com. I have a ton more here I'd like to cover, so I'm going to make you guys come back in a little bit, and we'll do this again, if you'll agree to do that.
We'd love to come back.
Thank you.
Yeah, we want to thank you. And we'd love to, of course, thank the ACT IAC members that make this organization so successful and are just so passionate about what we do.
Well, congratulations on a great ELC this year.
Thanks. It was fun.
Casey Coleman of GSA and Ted Davies of Unisys are in charge next year, and they're already at it.
They're already doing it.
I emailed both of them, said if I can help, I'd love to do it, and they said we're already working on it. Great to have you here, and thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Hour number two of In Depth with Francis Rose is right around the corner on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you want to know what that acronym means, it looks new and you've not heard of it before, a solution to do that minutes from now on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.